Now, the Ministry of Defence has confirmed that it will use RAF Tornadoes in the relief operation in Iraq, where hundreds of thousands of refugees have been fleeing Islamist militants. The fighter jets are to be used in a reconnaissance role, helping to direct the delivery of emergency supplies. The US has begun sending weapons to Kurdish forces battling the Sunni group known as Islamic State. Seb Meyer is a photographer based in Iraq. He says the refugees trapped in the mountains in the north of the country are in desperate need of help.
Yesterday, I was up on the Syrian border watching the Yazidi, who were able to descend Mount Sinjar, come into Syria and then back across the border into Iraq. And they were in an unimaginable state, barefoot, completely sunburnt. I mean, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days in the pounding heat with no shelter at all. Filthy, exhausted. You know, I've been here for quite a while, but I've never seen anything like that.
Well, one of the populations under attack from the Islamist militants is the Yazidi minority of northern Iraq. We can speak now to George Richards, an expert on the country and the Middle East, who recently visited the region populated by the Yazidi people. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
George, just to, I suppose, explain the Yazidi group of people, who they are and where you can find them in Iraq.
Yeah, the Yazidis are scattered across what is northern Mesopotamia, that is northern Syria and northern Iraq, but also in some parts of the Caucasus, including Azerbaijan. And in terms of numbers, it's unclear precisely how many there are, but worldwide estimates go up to the hundreds of thousands, possibly as many as 400,000. But the problem with estimating the numbers has been demonstrated in recent days with the crisis on Mount Sinjar, where we're not entirely sure how many Yazidis are stuck up there, whether it's 50,000 or 150,000. And in terms of their religion, which is what distinguishes them from other groups in the region, it's, again, a highly complex and also very secretive religion, but probably emerged sometime during the Middle Ages, around the 10th, 11th or 12th centuries, and is a syncretic system of beliefs comprising elements from Zoroastrianism, which is the ancient Iranian fire religion, as well as Islam, especially Sufi Islam, which is the mystical form of Islam. But at its essence, it appears to be a monotheism with a single god, and he has withdrawn from the management of world affairs and left that in the hands of seven angels, one of whom, Malek Taus, or the Peacock King, fell from God's favor for a while before being forgiven. And it is the Peacock King who is the most important figure in the Yazidi cosmology. And sadly, it's because of this adoration of the Peacock King that the Yazidis were for a long time thought to be Satan worshippers, because of the story of Lucifer in other cosmologies was thought to represent that of the Peacock King.
So this is largely why now, is it then, that they are being persecuted and targeted by the Islamist militants?
That's in part to do with the identification of the Yazidis as devil worshippers, which is of course incorrect, but also because the radical Islamists of ISIS or the Islamic State think of the belief in any kind of alternative religion as polytheism or at least some form of infidel beliefs. And under their interpretation, strict interpretation of Sharia law, the Yazidis are therefore punishable by Sharia law, including through beheadings and crucifixions and enslavement, forced marriage, and all the other atrocities that we've been seeing committed in northern Iraq over the recent weeks.
And what's been your experience recently when you've been there of what is happening to these people?
Well, they faced a difficult time. One might have imagined that with the increased autonomy in the Kurdish regional government over the last few years, this would have been good news for the Yazidis, many of whom are in fact Kurds, if not all are Kurds, and they identify very closely with the Kurdish ethnicity. But they haven't actually found themselves treated as well as they might have hoped, and in fact, the Kurdish regional government doesn't allocate, for example, any parliamentary seat to the Yazidi minority in the way that it does, for example, to the Armenians and the Turkmens and the Syriac Christians. And of course, Sinjar itself is far beyond the authority of the Kurdish regional government, deep inside what was federal Iraq. And so their plight has been slowly, steadily building over the last few years. And in fact, last October, I was in Lalesh, which is the main Yazidi site inside Kurdish regional government area, at the Feast of the Assembly, when Yazidis travel from all over the Middle East to convene in Lalesh for pilgrimage. And even then, tales were coming in from northern Syria about their treatment by various rebel groups, the Islamist groups. And I think that what we're seeing now is, sadly, something that could have been foreseen, and action should have been taken sooner to protect the Yazidis.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. George Richards there, an expert on Iraq and the Middle East. 7:21.
It's the 12th of